Hello, and welcome to USSO Cast, a US Studies online podcast. Here, we chat to PhDs and ECAs in American Studies about their research, their life in academia, and all things in between. I'm Robin Tutor, and today I'm thrilled to be joined by our former co-editor, Sarah Collier. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, it's good to be back.
It's great to have you. So to begin, could you just share with us a bit about yourself and your research?
Yeah, so I am a fourth year PhD student at UCL. I'm based in the English department, but I work on a multidisciplinary project looking at the intersections of masculinity and technology in representations of the war on terror. So I kind of imagine embodied masculinities as an expression of empire. And then I think about how these masculinities interactions with visual technologies like handheld cameras and drones, how they imagine or anticipate the changing shape and kind of direction of American empire in the 21st century.
Yeah, that's great. So interesting. So what drew you to this area of study?
That's a good question. It's kind of a roundabout way. I did my master's in French, and I was particularly interested in the Algerian War. So I did my master's thesis on same kind of themes, like masculinity in kind of like in dialogue in Francophone narratives, so like mainland France and Algeria. But I always knew that I wanted to go back to Anglophone literatures and cultures for my doctoral work. I did a joint undergrad. So yeah, I kind of wanted to take all of these ideas and think, do they actually apply to thinking about American wars, and especially the American War on Terror? I wanted to bring it into the contemporary period, which was quite fun because it's an area that I'd never really thought about in an academic way. So it was a totally new area of study. And it opens up loads of new questions and interests. I've spent 4 years really kind of getting my teeth into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's always so interesting to hear of the progression of people's projects, and especially sort of their background when it's so multidisciplinary. And I think this is a really nice segue into our next question as well. Just could you speak more to how you've navigated researching such a multidisciplinary and contemporary topic?
Yeah, I think, to be perfectly honest, multidisciplinary and contemporary nature of it is what stopped me from getting bored, to be blunt. Looking at different media in different forms and in an ever-changing kind of political landscape means that there's always something new. And so once I finish one piece of writing, one piece of research, I can move directly onto the next thing. And it's something that's thematically similar, but a totally different thing to engage with. So how I've navigated it, it's probably quite slapdash, to be honest. I'll like start on one thing and then my imagination will take me elsewhere and I'll start on another thing. But now, sort of 4 years later, it's all kind of coming together, and I can now see these threads that I'm suturing all the way through, and yeah, they're kind of weaving together quite nicely.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, again, kind of touching upon that idea of methodology, you explore a really wide range of mediums and case studies in your project. So you look at kind of film, literature, graphic novels. What have you found to be sort of the benefits and challenges of this approach?
Yeah, that's another good question. I guess I've always come from a literary background. That's the bread and butter of what my research has always been. So a lot of what I look at is fiction, literary fiction, genre fiction. But then from there, given the contemporary nature of my studies, I think that it would be missing something if I wasn't looking at all of these other ways of representing the war on terror. So that's where I started incorporating film, and then thought again, it would be at a disadvantage if I wasn't looking at things like video games, which have only kind of vaguely made it actually into the end product, but they've really, thinking about them has really informed how I'm approaching literature and film. And I also did a bit of work on blogs as well, because they were becoming, they were kind of like nascent, I guess, in their popularity in and around 2003. So I suppose the benefit of it is that, yeah, it helps to inform the way that you're thinking about more traditional texts. So the way that I've been, for example, in a text called Spoils, which I've presented on recently, it's just kind of straightforward fiction, but its core themes and its core plot kind of coalesces around the use of a digital camera. And so what I was interested there is how has digital imagery, how has that informed how the war is being written about, and how are cameras being represented in literary narratives, not only as ways of seeing, but as kind of objects that you have to navigate around in your way of being in the military.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, sort of these case studies and the material you're drawing from is so sort of vast and so interesting. And we've had the opportunity to talk previously about the amazing research trips you've undertaken during this project, but I was wondering if you could just share with our listeners a little bit more about this.
Yeah, so I've been lucky to take my research to the States a couple of times. The first was with UCL. They offer an exchange to Yale. So I did that for 3 months. And I worked with James Berger, who's in the English department at Yale. And that was really great to get a different perspective on the work that I was doing, and actually kind of changed the trajectory of what I was doing in a subtle but quite significant way. And it was great. It was good to just kind of be in a different academic setting and be working under somebody new. And then I also went to the Library of Congress on an AHRC funded trip. And again, it was that was great because I had like my own little desk at the Clinton Center, which is kind of hard to come by when you're a humanities scholar. And yeah, again, it was just kind of 3 months where I could sort of forget everything else that I was doing and just sit down and really think about my thesis, and working in a setting with like-minded people and being able to use all of the resources on offer at the Library of Congress, and all the people and all the advice and minds that you're working with. It was just, yeah, really great for how my thesis began shaping up. I didn't actually do that much writing, but I did a lot of thinking. And I think the only people that will understand what I'm saying are people like in academia. So I've told loads of people that I didn't do any writing, but I did loads of thinking, and they were like, so you didn't do anything? No, what did you do? You just sat there stroking your chin for 3 months.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, it's such a privilege of kind of the work that we do, of getting to visit these amazing places. But yes, it is, a lot of the most amazing work often comes from those, like, you know, when you're observing or when you're kind of just participating in something. No, absolutely, completely understand.
Yeah, for sure.
And of course, I have to ask, what has been the most memorable or surprising find from these trips?
I think probably just how supportive everybody is. I don't know, like when it's always quite intimidating, isn't it? When, I'm sure you know from the research trips that you've done as well, that like going to somewhere that you're not so familiar with, and then they've got all these like lofty names and titles, and you feel very much like a small fish in a big pond. But then when you get there, yeah, everybody's just really, really nice and supportive and really like want to contribute and want to sort of help you in your research. And so there's a really nice like supportive community that took me by surprise, really. I was expecting to feel a lot more isolated than I did.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, any chance sort of to share our research and work collaboratively is of course, again, always a benefit. And again, kind of a nice lead in, you recently presented a paper at BAST 2023 and also oversaw this panel as a chair. Can you share more about this and any advice for people who may be organizing or chairing a session for the first time?
Yeah, well, again, this like speaks to that community thing I was talking about with the Library of Congress, because I actually did that panel with Jeff White, who I met at the Library of Congress and who's become a friend. He works in he's a lecturer at Lancaster, and so our panel was interdisciplinary reflections on US militarism and empire. So it was kind of broad, but what it meant was that we got to bring together people working at all levels in different disciplines, looking at how we think about American war and empire from a contemporary vantage point. So there was Jeff working on the birth of psychological warfare, John McAvoy, who does some really interesting stuff about British covert action, but how that relates with the special relationship in South America. And then Gordon Fraser as well, who again does some great work on gun violence and the idea of a gun as a peacemaker. So it's a really interesting intervention into gun violence discourse. So and then I presented on this book about the handheld camera, and again how it's used as a political object as much as it is a seeing device. And yes, I chaired it, which was the first time that I chaired a panel, so it was a bit scary and I didn't really know what I was doing. I guess my advice for anybody chairing a panel would be just to first of all be confident. You know, you're the chair, so you kind of set the tone and the pace, and make sure you do your research and you're comfortable with everybody's names before you go up, and make sure that they're you've got people's names and pronouns and everything like that, and also just pay attention to the questions. You know, you get to choose the questions and decide, basically just I guess like making sure again that that you're creating the conditions for a good discussion, so that you're encouraging, you know, you're fielding a diverse range of questions from a diverse pool of people. Don't let anybody dominate the conversation too much.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely fantastic advice, and I'm sure, you know, whether you're chairing for the first time or you've chaired a lot of time, it's always a little bit intimidating every time you're sort of appointed chair. So as I mentioned previously, you've obviously recently and sadly stepped down as USSO co-editor. What was your favorite part of working with the USSO?
Honestly, and I say this like seriously, USSO has been like my favorite part of my PhD in general. It's what's kept me sane, in addition to being, you know, like just being consumed in your own little world of work and not really stepping outside of that. It's a really great way to just kind of come up for air and do something a bit different. And so my favorite part, I think, is just, well, I guess it's been just working with, you know, a broad range of research areas. And that's what drew me to American studies in the first place, as somewhere to kind of like set my roots down in terms of my community, is that there's just such a breadth of interesting stuff going on across history and literature and politics and geography and music, and you know, it just meant that I learned a lot from other people, and just from reading people's great work and talking about it and collaborating on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone who's worked sort of with USSO would echo that. And what's in sort of your horizon? What are your plans for the future?
Yeah, so I'm almost like staggering to the end of my PhD. I'm working currently at a documentary distributor, which I'm finding really good fun. We do lots of like sort of social issues, conflict documentaries, so it's a nice overlap with the research that I'm doing, and it means that I get to think about these kind of themes that I've been working on for so long, but in a totally different way. So I'm enjoying that. So yeah, I guess like at the moment I'm quite enjoying documentaries. So whether I remain working with them commercially or whether I go back to academia, I think that documentaries will be on my horizon in some way or another.
Yeah, that's great. And I think it's always, again, fantastic when sort of your wider projects or your wider work can kind of inform the research you're doing and vice versa. So as always, we conclude USSO Cast with some recommendations. So what academic work do you think everyone should check out?
There's a couple. I'm trying to think how like nerdy I'm going to be about this. something that I've been working on really closely at the moment is an edited collection called Precarity in Contemporary Literature and Culture. It's edited by Emily Hogg and Peter Simonson. That looks at this contemporary notion of precarity and how it's kind of seems to be identifying the times that we live in many different ways. And how that is expressed and approached in contemporary literature and culture. So that's really interesting. And especially thinking about how that we know of precarity as in like a very certain way, when, you know, historically there's been precarity all over the place. What is it that makes it specific to the 21st century? So that's, I definitely recommend that. I've also just started Greg Grandin's Kissinger's Shadow, just because he turned 100 recently and I thought it was a good time to open that book. But that's really interesting text on understanding America through this guy and the impact that he's had in the domestic United States and across the world.
Yeah, no, that sounds, both sound really, really fascinating. And of course, I think really, really topical, I'm sure. And of course, what have you been reading, watching or listening to lately that you could recommend to us?
I have completely devoured the latest season of I Think You Should Leave. I don't know. Do you watch that?
Yes. Yeah,
it's just ridiculous. I love it so much. It's a really good tonic to like reading about war all the time. Sometimes you just want to watch someone like shouting frenetically for 20 minutes. I love it. I think that it's taps into this complete neurosis of existing semi online and semi in the real world. I love the characters' completely twisted logics. So I definitely recommend watching that if you're getting a bit sick of thinking too seriously about things.
Absolutely, those are always the best recommendations. So thank you so much, Sarah. It's been, as always, fantastic chatting to you.
You too. It's been really great to be on, and thank you.
No, thank you so much. And of course, to our listeners, make sure you subscribe to be notified of our next episode, and make sure to follow us at BASS USSO.